Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this Sunday, June 21st. I hope you're having a good day and a good, good summer so far, but I think today is the first day of summer, even though we've been enjoying some of it already. This is the first day of summer. I think it's the longest day today, which is interesting. Maybe you'll get to see and experience that. We've been having some beautiful weather out there in Nebraska. It has not been very windy. It has not been too hot. And so I've been trying to spend some more time on the back porch or working in the yard. And so I wonder what you've been doing. A couple announcements as we begin. I just want to mention that this Wednesday is the youth trip to Adventureland in Des Moines. And so please tell Pastor Tobias and Brenna, if you haven't already, please tell them that you want to go if you're a middle schooler or high schooler. And they've got a number of chaperones and drivers, and they're going to take the kids there, leave at 7 a.m. from the Cove, get back really late at night, but have a fun day at that amusement park. I want to mention that we have 11 people signed up to be baptized on July 12th. We're looking forward to that. If you haven't told me already that you would like to be one who is baptized, you need to tell me this week. So please call me and or email me or text me or something, and we'll connect about that. But super excited about the 11 people that are going to be baptized. And then July 4th, that is a Saturday coming up here in less than 2 weeks, as we celebrate the 250th of our country. We're going to be in Waverly at the Community Center, and right after the parade from 11:30 to 1:30, we're going to be offering a free lunch to everybody in our community. Each year we do this, we get about 500, 600 plus people that from our community that come on through, and we serve them pulled pork sandwiches and chips and a drink and stuff. And if you would like to help out with that, my wife helps run that with a team of outreach people. And if you would like to help serve the lunch or clean up or set up or any of that, talk to me and Carrie this week, and we'll get you on the team. If you don't have plans that day and would like to come, please come out. Join us for lunch. It's free. It's wonderful. And so come on out. It's a good time. All right. Well, today we are continuing on in our sermon series, The Fruit of the Spirit. And we've already looked so far at the first three of nine. Of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. We've already looked at those. Today, we're going to look at the fourth one, and it is patience, the next virtue that God wants to grow in our life as we abide in Him each day, is greater patience. Does anybody out there need more patience? Kevin Neth told me this past Sunday he was not going to come today because of this theme. Didn't want to hear it, and I understand him. Patience is maybe on the top of my list, too, of things that I can struggle with. You know, I have since I was little. I've just always been in a hurry, you know, and I can often get impatient with other people as they might get in my way or don't always do what I want to do. I can lose my temper if I'm not careful. I can want something and just want it right now. My mom, God bless her, tried to teach me the patience song when I was a little kid. She got me the record, literally a record, called The Music Machine, where it had a song on there by Herbert the Snail, where he would sing, have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember, remember, God is patient too, and think of all the times when others have had to wait on you. For some reason, that song didn't help me. Well, this week I studied the scriptures on patience and what patience really means, and maybe even some things the Bible says we can do to better nurture a more patient spirit in us. The word patient in the original Hebrew and Greek means to suffer long or to endure it. It implies also having grace and understanding with other people, bearing with them in love. But patience in our circumstances means to be able to hang in there, you know, stand firm for a while, to remember that God is faithful and he's going to come through in his time. It's the ability to wait. And that really got me thinking, do we still have that today, that ability to wait? In my concordance, it even said that the word for patience means a refusal to be defeated, a refusal to give up on God or on the plans that he has for you, but to, you know, to rush something that requires more time, or to give up on a person or something good that we're working towards. Patience knows that good things come to those who wait. Do we still believe that today, with all the hurry that we've gotten ourselves into and the advancement in technology, where we'll pay hundreds of dollars to get a new phone just to save a few more seconds on a download speed, or we find it impossible to wait 5 minutes for a checkout? I was at Menards and the person in front of me was just so slow and I was just antsy, you know? I don't know, you know, if we would have had to wait, you know, years for things that people did in the past. You know, I know people today who graduate and they expect to have a home and a car and everything that it took our grandparents decades to wait and save up for. I mean, we want it all now. In that type of immediate world, do we believe in waiting as a virtue, and that there might be a reason for something that we need to endure for? Do we know how to stop? You know, everyone is running in life. Do we know how to be still, how to be silent, to not just say whatever we want to say, but to be patient with someone? Endurance is connected here. It's the ability to hold on and endure. We need it in our marriages, don't we? Because, I mean, days are not always wonderful and rosy. We need it in a job. You know, we can't just keep bouncing from job to job. Sometimes we got to stick it out. You know, we need it with people. We need it to wait on God's answer for things that take time. You know, to wait for a harvest. Even decades at times for the answers to our prayers. To trust that he hears them and that he will in his good time. Jesus, in one of his parables, talks about the persistent widow who would not stop believing in what she prayed for and never give up in praying for it. Do we have that same faith? Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find that kind of faith still within his people? Jesus told us in the scriptures that it's going to take a while for him to return. Would we be still looking and waiting for him, or have we given up? Patience, it's enduring to the end, to the finish line. We read in the Bible all these chapters of you know, people, God's people going through so many things, like in the desert for years, or in exile for decades, or waiting for a Messiah, you know, for hundreds of years, or Abraham, that story where he and Sarah waited for the promised child that God had given them for, you know, a long time. David, when he was waiting to be a king. You know, we read through these stories and they're just like a chapter or two. And so we forget that those people had to have faith to endure, that they had to wake up day in and day out for weeks and months and years before seeing the answers that they were waiting for. Do we got that grit and hang in there perseverance that Christ calls us to? To see the good stuff of what he wants to produce in and around us. I think of Galatians 6:9, where it says, let us not become weary in doing good, because at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Boy, that's a great verse on patience. But this is the fruit. I like how John Piper put it. He said that impatience is a form of unbelief. It's what we begin to feel when we start to doubt the wisdom of God and his timing or the goodness of his guidance. We get impatient. We may even do what Abraham did. When it was a long time coming for him, oh, he and his wife got restless, anxious, began to think within their own wisdom how they could solve this challenge on their own. Instead of waiting on God, they took matters into their own hands because God wasn't coming through fast enough for them. In an immediate gratification culture, we may be losing the muscle, the fruit of patience in our life that we need. Even just in our marriages and raising kids or being at a church or when things that God is wanting to develop in us just take some time. We want them now, but it might just take some time. Longer than we want. Christians are called to learn how to wait, to grow in patience, to learn how to slow down. Or maybe a better way to put that is to walk in God's pace, right? To not get ahead of him, you know, but to follow in his footsteps, to let him set the pace for the things in our life, to learn how to trust him in his timing, to show grace with other people who get in our way. Because God has shown grace with us. There are three scriptures on patience I want to read today for you to think about this. The first one is the longest one, and it's a psalm. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 37. And I want to read the first 13 verses for us. So, Psalm of David. Listen to what it says. It says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong, for they're like grass, they'll soon wither. Like green plants, they'll soon die away. Trust in the Lord instead, and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy a safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he'll do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. So be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger in those moments and turn from wrath. Don't fret, it only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those whose hope is in the Lord, they're going to inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they'll be not found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked because he knows their day is coming." Now, this scripture was not one that I would have thought about when talking about patience, but surprisingly, it has been the one that has most impacted me this week. And maybe because the first thing I think about with patience is usually my struggle to be patient with other people. But I found the majority of scriptures on patience actually have to do with our relationship with God. Are we patient with God? I learned that patience first really is about trusting in God. Just like love, joy, and peace, we learn that they first got to happen in our relationship with God for them to go outward. So too with patience. Patience begins with God, trusting in him. And I never really thought about that, that maybe my biggest struggle in patience is trusting God, that he's in control, accepting he knows what he's doing, and that he's working, and that his timing is best, and that I believe he will come through just as he promised. Do I trust God? Can I wait, therefore, on the Lord for him and his timing and way? Psalm 37, it's David. He's talking about waiting patiently for the Lord. Now, David was an anointed king, yet he had to wait a long time to get that throne that was rightfully his. He waited on God. He had to wait for what only God could accomplish. And Saul was out to get him, and evil looked like it was winning, and the nation was in chaos. I think it would have been so easy for David to jump ahead of God, start taking matters into his own hands, and feel justified in it, for things were not working fast enough. Maybe he even could reason to himself God wanted him to do this. It could have been understandable for David to take matters into his own hands and jump ahead of God. When I'm worried or thinking with just my own understanding, all I can see is the thing that I think needs to happen right now. But that's when I fall into trouble and only make it worse. It's when I rush in, when God's not there yet. I gotta wait. I gotta learn to let the Lord set the pace. And it's not even just with the big stuff in my life. It can be the daily stuff. When I rush in with my kids and say something I should have waited on, or with Carrie, or sent a text to somebody that later I thought, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. The first words of Psalm 37 are, don't fret. Don't be anxious about anything. A lot of our impatience is rooted in worry, looking around, forgetting God's in control and it's not up to me. You know, when this is tested most in my life is in who I care about most. And so for me, my kids, when I see them going through something, I want to rush in there and help. I got all these scary thoughts in my head about what could happen, or what if they make this mistake? And it's true, I'm called to be a dad, but I need the Lord to show me how to be. And not forget that God is at work in their life too. And he loves them more than I do. And maybe he's got something for them in this. Just hold on. I don't know if you remember the movie Finding Nemo. Remember the scene when Marlin the dad meets the turtle? And Marlin is really an anxious dad. You know, he has cause to be, you could say, because he's gone through tragedy in his life and his boy means everything to him. Well, he's searching for Nemo when he meets this turtle along the way. And as they're swimming along, the turtle's son gets caught up in this current and is pushed out into deeper ocean. And Marlin the fish, you know, he panics and he wants to immediately race after him. But the older and the wiser turtle dad, he stops him and says, hold on there, little guy. Let's wait and see what Junior does. This is beautiful patience. This is, let's keep an eye, but not rush in. Let's wait and see. And when the baby turtle pushed through it on his own and was able to get back, the boy, all excited and proud, rushes up to his dad and says, see, Dad, see what I did there? And the father turtle there was able to say, you totally rocked it, dude. Good job. You know? Well, we can miss that moment if we're impatient. In my life, I've had to go through stuff. I'm sure you have too. But this is what I've needed, and God knew I needed it. But he was always watching over me, never letting me go, and he had a plan all along that he was making. We got to learn to wait patiently and trust in the Lord. Psalm 37, it says, don't fret because of those who are evil or even be envious of them. They're like grass, it'll soon wither away. Their day's coming. It says, the Lord will rise up the righteous and the meek in his time, and he will punish the wicked. Do we believe that? God tells us in verse 3, therefore, commit your way to the Lord, which means pray. And he says, trust him, and it says, do good. This is what we're supposed to do while we wait. You see, biblical patience is not passive waiting. It's prayer, it's trust, it's committing to do good things, even when it appears that evil is winning or threatening all around us. It says in this psalm, dwell in the land and take delight in the Lord. And I studied that, and what it meant was settle down and enjoy God while you wait. And I thought, that's great. Because when I'm impatient, it usually consumes every thought and everything of every day. And just, you know, regular living and delighting in the moment can get lost. Just taking a nice walk with your wife, enjoying what is, we can miss the gift of these things because we're impatient for something. Patience isn't anxiously worrying every day until God comes through. It's trusting he will. So right now, I can just live. If I can just share something personal with you, when we moved here 15 years ago, I remember so much the Lord just saying, hey, when you get here, be patient. You know, I didn't know everything. I was still so new at ministry, and it wasn't going to be up to me to change everything, or I wasn't supposed to rush in and do church my way or to make all these things. But I was to come in. God was wanting me to be patient, to get to know people, to respect them, to listen to them, to hear them, to love them, to care about them, what they do, why they do it, to get to know farming in Nebraska, to establish roots here, to make it our home, to settle in, to see people in this church and community as family, and that this is his church. He's in control of it. This is his work. It's not mine. God's going to do what God has chosen to do. Settle in. Be patient. Lately, I've been so full of emotion now, looking back over these 15 years here, just thinking about all that God has done here that I never would have seen or even imagined 15 years ago. You know, and the journey along the way that's been so rich, and the family that has become family. And I can think about that in many different stages of my life. When you know, you're starting out, you know, and you wonder what, and you maybe fear what, and all that. But wait patiently for the Lord. God is up to something, and he's doing something good. You can trust him in it. His love never fails you. 2 Peter 3:8 says, the Lord's not slow in keeping his promises. He's just patient. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. So trust him. I think of 1 Peter 5:10, which says, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong. Man, that one was a deep verse for me. He says, after you've suffered a little while, which means at times this might be part of the journey you got to go through. But he'll restore you, make you strong. Trust him. He's always come through. Move at his pace. The second scripture, though, that impacted me this week on patience was Exodus 32:1. Boy, was that convicting. It's a verse that comes after God has delivered his people out of slavery. He's led them to Mount Sinai. Moses is up on the mountain talking with God, getting the Ten Commandments. The people are waiting down below for Moses to return. But then Exodus 32:1 says this, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. The crowd got so restless in waiting for Moses to come back that they go to Aaron, they put pressure on him to do something, and he gives in. Instead of as a leader, him saying, hey, we're okay here, stick with it. Moses will be back. God is always faithful. Remember the crossing of the sea? Remember how he provided manna and water for you? Trust God. Have faith. Don't do this. Instead, Aaron, he gives the people what they want instead of what they need. To ease their mind, he makes them an idol of gold to bring a false comfort to them. He does the worst thing he could do. And then a few verses later in Exodus 32, verses 7 and 8, God speaks to Moses, says, go down because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded and have made themselves an idol cast into the shape of a calf and have bowed down before it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods. God says they've been quick to turn away. Instead of sticking with God and continuing to trust and obey him, they were quick to turn away with God when things got tough. And they looked to the world for the answers, to another God for the answers. And we can do the same thing. We can be quick to turn away from God and his way to the world's way to get what we want faster. This scripture hit me in regards to patience because the Israelites didn't have it. And Aaron, who was in leadership, he didn't have it either. He gave the people what they wanted instead of what they needed. He caved and ended up making gods of gold instead of waiting on the one true God. Patience is so important in our life. Impatience can cause us to try to find solutions outside of God's will, and it won't work. Other opinions and people who say, this is the answer, you don't got to wait for that, do it this way. And then we end up bowing before other gods to satisfy our own fears instead of wait for what's better. I thought about this with even Jesus in a way, how the religious leaders in his time, just like Aaron in the Old Testament, the religious leaders in Jesus's day kind of did the same thing. They feared Rome more than they feared God. And the people and King Herod, they all wanted the power and control instead of trusting God and his salvation. They bowed to all these false gods around them. They worshiped their temple and rules and certain people in power, and in the fear that they would lose it if they didn't cave to the world. But that turned out to be why they lost it, because they went the world's way instead of God's way with Jesus. We got to be careful. In the times of waiting, the devil's going to be working and try to tempt you with a whole lot of not God's way. To think you got to do this or to just compromise that. And then we end up settling for golden calves. We need biblical patience. We need to stay with God, follow the scripture, keep our eyes on Jesus, listen to the Spirit and not your flesh. Not settle for what the world presents as an alternative. Not settle for quick and easy instead of good and better and best. The deeper stuff God wants and can only bring about. Don't settle for the job that isn't the one that God has promised to you, but you think is just taking long. I got to do something now. Don't give up on God in your prayers by trying to act in another way or to lose your temper or abandon the plan for some easier solution. God will come through. I think of Abraham and Sarah. They were patient for a while, but then when it got to be 5 and 10 years, I mean, of course, anyone would doubt. So they do what they think is reasonable and what was acceptable in their time. Abraham would sleep with his maidservant Hagar, have a child with her. This was Abraham's golden calf moment. This is what the world said would be the reasonable thing. But God said, wait for me, the thing I'm going to do. I think of God's people during the famine in Elijah's day, how they began to pray to Baal for rain. And we think, reading that, how in the world could they have been so stupid? But everybody else around them was doing it. And I think about stuff in our life. We do what everybody else around us does rather than wait on our God and trust in our God. We do it so many times. We just don't see it as another God. But it is. In our impatience, we bow rather than wait on the Lord, who's never failed us and whose plan is good. The last scripture, though, that I wanted to read for us is James 1, 19 and 20. And this one is about the patience we're supposed to have with the people around us in our life. It's the patience of Christ we're supposed to show them. James 1, 19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because man's anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. I have to remember that my impatient, angry reaction, you know, is not going to produce what God wants in this situation. All it does is satisfy my flesh that's upset and wants to yell, wants to get its frustrations out, wants to be heard, wants to show I'm upset about this. But that isn't going to help anything. It won't give God the glory. The Lord calls me to be patient with people because God has been patient with me. And I should care about what God wants to happen here, not what I want. I'm not going to burn this bridge because of my impatience when the Lord wants to do something here long term. And so the greater good is going to cause me to want to show love in this moment that might be hard to do, but that I got to. Because really and honestly, God has shown that already with me. I mean, really, if we stop to think about it, hasn't the Lord been extra patient with us? God has given me so much grace in my life and forgiveness, and he stayed with me so many times when I've made so many poor decisions and done the worst thing possible and been slow to learn. God has been patient and stayed with me. I think of 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16, where Paul says, here's a trustworthy saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the worst. But for that reason, I was shown mercy that in me, the worst of all sinners, Christ might display his immense patience as an example for others who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul is saying the patience God's shown me is for a reason, that I might be able to show it to others and that they might see the patience of God. You want to see the goodness and patience of Christ? Just look at me, he's saying. Look at what God has done in my life. Let us never forget that the people around us are no worse sinners than we are. Even our saintly wife and kids and the people at the store, none of them are perfect. They're still sinners too that have bad days just like we can. And so as the Lord has been patient with us, let us be patient with them. We all need patience. In the movie Evan Almighty, there's a great scene where God is speaking to a wife of a man who's doing things she can't understand. And God says to the wife, think about this. If a person prays for patience, do you think God just gives them patience or opportunities to be patient? If a person prays for courage, does God just give them courage or opportunities to be courageous? If a person prays for their family to be closer together, does God just zap them with warm feelings or opportunities to truly love each other? You know, Carrie and I went through a good marriage book together that was all about how God gave us marriage not just to be happy, but to make us holy. And how often it's through that marriage that we are challenged and that we grow. And so I told Carrie, you're welcome, you know, for all that I've put you through. No, but how true it is. How does God grow greater patience in us? By opportunities that require it. God is always at work around us. What we hope for and what we most care about, you know, can be different. He wants to grow the fruit of the Spirit in my life. That's his agenda. Challenging people and circumstances might be part of his plan to grow that in me. Will I let him pour the grace into my life for them and that I might be able to share the grace that he has given to me to love as I have been loved and to stick with somebody in a difficult situation a little bit longer to see what God has for me and them in this. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in love with us every day. And he's calling us to be slow to anger and abounding in love with the people in our life. And he'll help us through it. At times we don't get it. But he does. He's got a reason for this. At other times, you know, people won't always understand. At other times, people will sin against you. At other times, they'll be unreasonable. But, you know, I've been unreasonable many times in my life. I've arrived late many times because I've been busy and have other people might arrive late. I can be short and irritating to people or upset and kind of lose it with them. Other people are going to do that with me at times. It happens. I've got to show them the patience that Christ has shown me. The flesh, though, all it cares about itself. It only thinks about what it wants, not the things God wants. The flesh is quick to anger and slow to love, but the Spirit is the opposite. It's quick to love and slow to anger. The flesh is quick to speak and rush in with judgment and malice and hurtful words, but the Spirit is slow to speak, quick to listen, wanting to understand, respect, and forgive. We never know all that people are going through in life, the context. We might just see the outcomes of their frustrations. That's why patience is trying to think and pray about the deeper things that God is doing. A couple ways that God has been trying to grow greater patience in me lately is to eliminate hurry from my life, to learn how to slow down. This is big for me. For me, it has been learning how to schedule less in my day and week so that I can be more attentive and available to him and other people as I go through my day. Or even just when things don't go exactly as planned, I've built in a little margin in my life for that. You know, for that traffic that takes, or that conversation that might take longer, that meeting that might go over, or just nothing at all, just to have a break in the middle of my day. You know, to not be just ruled by hurry. When I'm rushed all the time, I got less patience with Carrie, the kids, or others who need it. I'm thinking about God less. I'm not speaking necessarily his words, but mine. I'm just in a hurry. I'm always on the run. I'm tired, cranky, skipping meals, and people are just quick problems I got to fix, or irritations in my way instead of people that need love, a little bit of time, a little bit of patience, sinners who aren't always going to do it right, people who have been patient with me many times. I'm now being called to be patient with them to help them. When I'm hurried all the time, I can miss all that. I can just get focused on me and what I think needs to happen right away so I can move on, rather than really see, God, what is it you got for me or for them right now? What are you asking of me? I got to eliminate hurry by learning to live not just only in the peace of God, but the pace of God. I should not be moving faster than the one that I am called to follow. My life is more than a series of tasks that needs to get done. I'm invited each day to know God, to be still and to love him, to delight in him and others. That's the most important thing I can do today. Those around me need his grace and attention. One way that I can love them is by being patient with them. One way I delight in God is to see all that is and not all that isn't. But slow down enough to enjoy this life and the beauty of it, the world and the people that he's given. Patience is about trusting in God, being still because we know him and that he is faithful and good, and he will do it. We won't give up on him. He will keep his promises. We'll keep walking in his steps. As Psalm 37 said, to not fret. Evil has its day, but he'll take care of that. I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to trust him and keep doing good. I'm going to be still and dwell in the land. I'm going to settle in for the long haul. It might take a while to see all that his promises and these prayers come true, but I know God. He's never let me down. He's always come through in his way and greater than I could have even imagined. He'll come through. Be patient. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.